Hi, friends. Welcome to another episode of the Yelp Tampa Bay podcast. My name is Brett Nels. For the third week in a row, I am in someone's home recording this episode, the lovely home of one Drew Garabo of 102.5 The Bone in Tampa Bay.
Who are the other two?
My own home was okay. One, and the owners of Capital Tacos.
Oh, very nice. I still have yet to go.
Oh, man.
I know.
It's a journey.
Yes, that's the thing that's keeping me back, because although I am in northern Tampa, Lando Lakes is still a 45-minute jaunt or so.
Well, there is one in Wesley Chapel,
yes.
So it's a slightly closer jaunter.
I've heard that's not quite the same as the full Lando Lakes Capital Tacos experience.
There is something nostalgic about going into the OG spot that's about the size of your living room, and there's always a line. And so there's something about when you're in a crowded place, like, you know, it's probably worth it because all these people are waiting.
That's how Four Rivers got their start in Orlando / Winter Park, Florida, because of the lines. Everyone was like, well, if everyone's lining up there, it must be really good. And it was.
They absolutely do that on purpose.
Oh, right? No doubt about it.
Yeah.
Like, hey, cashiers, please move at a very slow and deliberate pace so we can stack this line outside the door so people drive by and go, what the hell's going on there? I'm going to give me some of that brisket.
And the new one in South Tampa, they even have the line being like right on McDill.
Of course.
I don't know if you've seen it yet.
Yeah.
But it's very appropriate.
Genius.
So I have many things to discuss with
you.
All right. First off, Yelp. Mm. This is the Yelp Tampa Bay podcast after all.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. So pulled up your profile.
Right.
Your name is Drew.
Yes.
Quotation.
Uh-oh.
I am not a Yelper. G.
I haven't updated that in a while. That was when I was in self-denial about being a Yelper.
Tell me about yourself now. We've talked about it on your show
many
times, but tell me about how the fact that you have 55 reviews.
Yes.
And you have a Yelp account.
Right.
But you also claimed that you were not a Yelper, even though you were a Yelper.
I Yelp, but I'm not a Yelper. Okay. That's right.
So tell me about that.
Okay. Well, you see, the thing is, I notice when I look at, and not the Yelp elite so much, but a lot of the Yelpers seem to have, and this is said with peace and love, an exaggerated sense of self-importance, at least in the early stages of Yelp when I was in denial. Mm-hmm. A lot of them seemed to be ersatz food critics who could allow the fact that the server forgot to bring them a soup spoon knock a 5-star restaurant down to a 2-star restaurant. I found that distasteful, so I felt the need to separate myself. I love the dining experience, and certainly we all have our pet peeves, but I'm never going to use words like mouthfeel. I'm never going to get involved in many of the food trends. I love dining. I love the whole dining experience. But at the time, I felt the need to separate myself from the Yelpiverse. And now I think I'm probably a Yelper.
Okay.
Is that good? Is that okay?
Did
I come
great.
Off like a total douchebag?
No, I love hearing the perspective of an outsider.
Right.
Because I want to know what people are thinking outside of our bubble.
Right.
Because inside of the bubble, it's a bunch of people who love Yelp.
Sure.
And I do think, because you talk about pet peeves.
Yes.
It is a pet peeve when I see any Yelper, elite or not, totally kill a restaurant because of a one-time bad service experience.
Right.
That may be a 19-year-old server having a bad day.
Exactly.
And that person, when they were 19, they probably had a few bad days.
Sure. And if you go to a restaurant on a Friday or a Saturday night, you're going to wait a long time for your food. There's nothing they can do about that. The restaurant isn't holding back your order to personally spite you. They're doing the best that they can. Having worked in restaurants a great deal of my life before radio, I have an immense amount of patience and satisfaction and understanding for the people in the back of the house who are busting their ass to get your food out.
Were you a server, cook?
Yeah, I was everything. I was a server and manager before I got pulled into the grimy world of radio. I was the supervisor of restaurants and bar for the Holiday Inn by the Orlando Airport, and that followed being a restaurant manager in Winter Park and a server from the time I was 18. I was a dishwasher at Frisch's Big Boy when I was 15.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had one of those little toys.
The Big Boy?
When I was like, it was one of my first memories.
Yeah, same here. They used to give you a comic book when you would eat there. And when I needed a job at 15, I thought it'd be pretty cool to wash dishes there and started hooking up with some of the older waitresses. It was great. And by the way, if anybody wants to free hookups and easy hookups, work in a restaurant. That's the best way to go.
Very cool.
Yes.
Another thing about your Yelp profile.
Uh-oh. I need to update that.
Yeah. So I don't know if you're aware, but 2 days ago, you celebrated an anniversary. Are you aware?
I was completely unaware. Was it my first review of the day?
No, it was your last review.
Oh.
March 9th, 2015.
Oh. I guess I'm not a Yelper.
And it was a review of Drew Garabo Live, the radio show.
It's a fine show. Well, I don't know what I gave it, but I'll stand by that review.
You did give it 5 stars.
Yes.
It may have been a terms of service violation for reviewing your own program.
Oh.
However, we'll look past that for now.
I know that. Should brush up on the Yelp guidelines.
Okay.
All right. So it's been a year since my last review.
It's been a year.
Oh. I've been to so many restaurants since then, too.
And you have 698 friends to 55
reviews. I've let them all down.
Yeah. Right? So you obviously what that says to me is you're not giving the people what they want.
No, you're right.
Okay.
All right.
So this is your coaching session.
Okay. Thank you. Damn, I really have to start stepping up my reviews. And I've been to good and bad restaurants. I, in my defense, I did write a review about 2 months ago for a restaurant that opened up just around the corner from here, a new sushi place. But it was a 1-star review, and the restaurant had just opened. So I wrote it, posted it, and then immediately felt so bad that I deleted it because a restaurant within its first couple of weeks, they're going to have some issues. However, it is unforgivable to me to have either an owner, manager, or hostess in conversation with a coworker as a guest walks out of the restaurant, whether that restaurant has been open a week or a year. You should acknowledge that guest, thank them for their business, and give them a hearty and sincere invitation to return. That's all.
Have you been back?
I went back once, had a similar experience, and did not go back. So I'll try again, but I will review it next time. I'll give the people what they want. I'm sorry, all 600 of you who follow me on Yelp.
All right. So I want to ask you, because we've talked about many different restaurants and businesses, and we seem to always be on the same page, almost with
almost
every single
always.
One.
Yes.
Which we'll get to in a minute.
Oh boy.
But I'm gonna go through my personal list of my top 10 favorite businesses of Tampa Bay.
Oh, great.
To give you a minute to sort of think of maybe some of yours.
Sure.
So I have Samurai Blue, number one, which there's a Ybor and a West Chase location.
Yes, there is.
Bodega, number two.
Oh, what a fantastic freaking sandwich they have there.
Speaking of long wait times, you will wait.
Right.
And it's not because they're trying to be cute. It's because they serve the most quality sandwiches ever.
Yes.
I have never had even remotely close to as good of a Cuban as I've had.
Same
there.
Here. The best Cuban in the Tampa St. Pete area.
Absolutely. Number three, Miguel's Mexican Seafood and Grill.
Phenomenal.
In South Tampa.
Great brunch, great lunch, great dinner, great chips and salsa, great everything.
Quesadillas, the fajita meat is it's untouchable.
Spectacular.
And they just opened a second one, actually.
Where?
On the same street, like a mile down the road.
That makes sense.
It's called Miguelitos.
Oh,
it's like
a fast, scaled down version.
Yeah, so totally different menu. So
all right.
More tacos, casual kind
sure.
of thing. Number four, appropriately, Four Rivers.
Ah, which, magnificent.
Yeah, absolutely. Number five, Yummy House China Bistro.
I like it. I like it a lot. I had some good experiences there. Their dim sum is good. Not the best dim sum in the Bay Area, but good.
And your favorite dim sum is?
I love Hong Kong House. I think it's on Fowler, if I'm not mistaken. And it is the best dim sum I've had in the Tampa St. Pete area. Halong Bay out in Clearwater is okay. It smells kind of funky in there, which I understand is indigenous to the Asian restaurant. But I hope I didn't offend anyone by that. But I find Hong Kong House to be spectacular when it comes to dim sum.
And Ho Ho Choi is also up kind of by
yes,
USF.
Ho Ho Choi is near there. I went to there once mistakenly because I looked on my directions and that's where it sent me instead of Hong Kong House. But then I went to Hong Kong House.
I'll have to check Hong Kong
House. Do it.
Number six, downtown Tampa, Anise Gastro Bar.
I've had appetizers and beverages there before a concert, The Flaming Lips at Curtis Hickson Park, and found it to be really good, open late night in a really cool spot. Yeah.
Number seven is actually not a restaurant. It's Naviera Coffee Mills. It's in Ybor City. I think it's one of the best kept secrets in the whole Bay Area. It's legit, authentic Cuban coffee. They're only open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5.
Oh, that's bad for me.
It's tough to get there.
Sure.
But I used to live in Ybor a couple different times, and I would just open my door and just smell the
coffee
beans. And for years, I wondered, where is that coming from?
Right.
That's where it's coming from. So you can get something called a Cafe Ybor. It's pretty heavy if you're lactose intolerant. I don't recommend it. I am, but I...
Yeah,
I
me too, but I'll make sacrifices.
It has like...
Painful sacrifices.
Very painful. condensed milk is in there, which is not good for your lactose intolerant folks. Number eight is... I don't pronounce it properly. If you were just reading it, it would look like it's Arco Iris, but it's actually... It's pronounced Erco Edis.
Oh.
It's a little Cuban spot right by Raymond James Stadium.
Okay.
So La Terracita is a great place.
Yeah.
It gets a lot of publicity.
Yep.
In my opinion, this is the lesser known and better version of that.
I'm down.
Number nine, out in Clearwater, Paul's Chicago Pizza. Some people think Chicago pizza is not even pizza. I would agree. It is very lasagna-esque.
Yes. Casserole-ish in nature.
Absolutely. But it is phenomenal. I cannot recommend it enough.
Huh.
And finally, rounding out the list, another place not exactly in my ratings for their food, but the brewery scene has obviously blown up here.
Mm-hmm.
There's like 40 plus in the area. And one that nobody knows about, possibly because it's a location issue and possibly because they've been a brewery for longer than the brewery scene has been popular, and that's Lager House up in Palm Harbor. And it's an Austrian fellow named Franz.
Oh.
And he brews legitimate German-Austrian beer, and it's better than any other brewery in town.
No kidding.
Yeah, absolutely. So
for
anybody listening, there's my list.
All right.
I'm curious if you don't have to go all the way to 10, but if you have a few.
All right, I'll throw out a few, sure. When it comes to brunch, some of the best I've had is at Noble Crust in St. Pete. I think the chef there, Chef Rob, does an amazingly inventive job with great ingredients and their short rib Benedict, which for one day they renamed the Drew Garabo Benedict. That has no bearing whatsoever on the fact that I'm putting them in my top 10, I assure you. Fantastic food. Service is always great. They're a cool spot. Gets a little crowded. Go early. I like Flamestone a lot, and probably because they put a placard that says reserved for Drew Garabo on my table when I go there. You can see how easily my allegiance is bought.
Yes, you can be bought.
Yes, and I'm in radio, so obviously more than just a little narcissism comes into play here.
Their guacamole is really amazing.
Phenomenal. Like one of the better tableside guacs that I've had, and they get it just right every time. I enjoy the Plum Lounge at Hard Rock Hotel and Casino, one of those hidden spots where you kind of have to know people. I don't know why they gave me a card for it, but they did. And it's where the whales go, like when they fly in their big, their casino, the huge gamblers.
Wow.
And for some reason, they gave a bunch of local schmucks card there, like me and Charlie Belcher. So that's where we go when we want to disappear from everybody. Cool spot. If you can find somebody who's a member like myself, find me and I'll walk you in there.
Okay.
And you'll pay for nothing, which I also like. I'm very frugal.
So any of these, did they have no affiliation?
Okay,
with you?
I'll start giving you some that have no affiliation. They have no idea who I am when I go there. Zen Bistro in West Chase, Florida. There is one in the International Mall, but that one, in my opinion, not quite as good as the West Chase location, which is spectacular. I think Aki Sushi is also very good. Family-owned. Bei Mei, who runs the place, is spectacular. That's in Oldsmar. I tend to, you know, circulate places that are close to my home because I don't like to drive when I'm hungry. I'm like, oh my God. One of the worst feelings in the world for me is getting into your car and not knowing where you're going to eat. That is the only rage-inducing time of my entire life, is driving around aimlessly going, where am I going to eat? And my son's going, where are we going to eat? And I'm like, shut up. But let's not get into that right now. Those are a few of my favorite spots. I like Kawa Coffee a lot. The number one thing I like about it most is that it's not Starbucks. Nothing against Starbucks. They have billions and billions of loyal fans / sheep, but I am not, I'm certainly not one of them. And I try to seek out independently owned places and support them, and they're local. And I like that a lot. To be honest with you, I don't know that I could pass a blind taste test between their coffee and any other coffee. It's just the idea that I'm spending my money somewhat locally and it's not going to Starbucks that makes that coffee taste even better. And I drink black coffee, so you really get to taste the local. No, not watered down by cream or sugar or any of that. Let's see, what else is around here, the products and services that I really liked? I know I gave you a couple. I've yet to find a really good Italian place like that. I would love to. There was a place, Zarillo's, that was right up in West Chase for a while, but they just closed, and they're opening up a new one. There is a Signor Tequila, or Casa Tequila, whatever the heck it's called. There's one in Carrollwood, and they're opening one up over here in West Chase that looks pretty good. I'll tell you, a staple if you're in the West Chase area, Surf Shack, spectacular little burrito and taco place. And then the only place that rivals Miguel's, in my opinion, it's a little bit pricier, is that Besito that is in the West Shore Plaza.
Mm-hmm.
The chips and salsa are some of the most amazing I've had, and that is my Achilles heel when it comes to food, because I just cannot stop eating chips and salsa.
100% the same. So when my fiance and I go to Miguel's,
I
always tell her, like, we honestly should say don't bring the chips out until the
right.
food is out. Because otherwise, every single time without fail, by the time the fajitas and the quesadillas come, I'm like, well,
ridiculous.
I'm stuffed, and now I'm just going to be a pig. And
same here. Same here. Every single time. And God forbid my parents should visit from Orlando, because I inherited this from my dad. So between my dad and I, we're going through like four baskets of chips, and my Jewish mother's like, oh my God, look at the two of you. You're just disgusting, slovenly pigs. What is wrong with you? So those are a few of my faves. I've yet to find a really good Italian place. I have Four Rivers is my barbecue spot for sure. And you know what other barbecue place is really good? You mentioned Ybor City. Is it Al's?
Al's, yeah.
Money.
Oh, yeah. When I lived there, I was walking 2 blocks away from my house.
I do feel weird eating the barbecue chicken, because I'm pretty sure that I'm eating one of the chickens that walks around in the parking lot. But it is some of the best barbecue I've had, and the people are really nice.
I've never thought about it, but now it's
ruined. Don't. For me. You'll never think of anything else but.
Couple things. Italian. Yes. You came to a Yelp event that was an Italian
restaurant. That was great. What was that?
DeSesto.
Phenomenal.
DeSesto is an amazing guy, and he serves some pretty breathtaking food. It's out in Pinellas Park, so it's kind of a strange area, because it's sort of an area riddled with a lot of like Vietnamese restaurants, and all of a sudden, boom, DeSesto, amazing Italian. One other one, I actually mentioned this to you last time on your radio show, Osteria Natalina.
Yes, damn it, I need to go there already.
What
is wrong with me?
You must. In South Tampa, in a little tiny corridor in like a McDill shopping plaza.
Yeah.
And your life will be changed. I'm probably going there this weekend, because my fiance's parents are coming into town, and they go to Italy every year.
Wow.
And we took them there a few months ago when they came to visit, and she was like, this is the only place that tastes like Italy.
Wow.
So that's a pretty big endorsement from one Janie Jantz.
A quick place that just popped into my mind that is also in West Chase that everyone, if they have not been, should go. I am not crazy about Middle Eastern or Lebanese food, but Fresh Bites, which is in a plaza on Countryway and Racetrack, a little tucked away near Rigby's Barbershop. Spectacular. It's the only place I'll eat lamb. I don't even think I like lamb, but whatever their special is, I trust the family that works there so much. Just give me the special. And the last time it was chicken with rice and ground lamb. And if you ask me if I like lamb, I would say absolutely not. I don't like lamb, but their food is awesome. They use all organic stuff, all like farm to table kind of stuff. And great. And speaking of farm to table, if you have the money to shell out, that farm to table experience at Locale in St. Pete is, I mean, magnificent.
Locale Market is awesome. They really, I mean, that, what is that plaza called again?
Sundial, I think.
Yeah. And it just totally went down, and it's revitalized.
Yeah.
I think Locale Market's probably the main reason for that.
It is. I feel bad that they got rid of Jeff Houck, because that was my hook up there, but
you know,
he moves on. And I think he's at Ukulele now, which is what I like to call Ukulele. Yeah, okay. I like to call it Ukulele, because it makes me laugh. And I still haven't been there, even though I heard it's magnificent.
It is, and it's really great views, and they spent all that money building that park out and everything like that, and talk about an area that was downtrodden. I mean, you didn't really go over there, and now there's a brewery open across the street, and it's become really great. Tampa Heights is probably the next Seminole Heights, I'm guessing.
Sure, and Jeff, if you do have me out there, I will stop calling it Ukulele, so that's not extortion. Oh, and the Birchwood is phenomenal, too. The restaurant down in there and that view from up on the canopy is one of the best views you're going to find in the Bay Area.
I agree on the view. I haven't eaten the food. Man, so you hit on a couple things.
Yes.
Your first restaurant that you listed was the brunch at Noble Crust.
Oh.
So are you the self-appointed brunch czar of Tampa Bay?
I am. Yes, that's how czars come to power. I believe they declare themselves the czar. I have all kinds of rules when it comes to brunch. For example, you don't have to consume alcohol. I'm currently not consuming alcohol just because I like to stay in shape and I like to be a good example for my 12-year-old son. Not that you can't be if you do drink alcohol, but that's just my personal choice. But there has to be an option of a mimosa or a Bloody Mary or some sort of brunch beverage. City Fish does a great brunch if you want to Yelp to a brunch, because you will get obliterated with the options there as far as liquor goes, and their food is not too shabby either. But yes, that is one of the many rules of brunch. You can't have it in your home. It has to be an event. There are several rules that the brunch czar does lay down for brunch, and that's me.
Okay, so if you have any more questions about the brunch rules, just tweet Drew Garabo.
Please, at Drew on the radio. I'll be more than happy to rate your brunch, and I will reward you complimentary mimosas, which you may enjoy at your leisure, or ridicule you if you come to me with stupid questions like, is pizza brunch? No, it's certainly not. A flatbread can be brunch, but a pizza is not a brunch. Don't be stupid.
Okay, so yeah, there's a lot of insight to be had there.
Sure.
Okay, so we did talk about restaurants we don't agree on, and I've only come across one.
Yes.
And so in my position especially, I don't like to say bad things about restaurants.
Correct.
But I also think if I'm only saying good things all the time, it kind of has less weight on those five-star reviews.
You're right.
So I personally have never had a good experience at Tijuana Flats. It's
that amazes me.
And it's one of your favorites.
Yes.
So what I want to do is I want you to tell me exactly what to order next time I go.
Okay.
And I will, without question, order exactly that, and I will report back to you.
Okay. First, let me give a caveat on why Tijuana Flats is so important to me. I went to the University of Central Florida, where they opened up the first location on University and Goldenrod. Through my years in Orlando, I got to meet and then know and then be friends with Jeff Wheeler, the guy who started Tijuana Flats. So it's a great story about how he borrowed $20,000 from his parents and then built this humongous conglomerate of Mexican restaurants. Great guy, great family. So I like the sentimental value of it. Would I prefer it over an authentic Tex-Mex meal? Certainly not. But is it a great place for me to go where my son can get a decent quesadilla and I can get a carnitas burrito? And this is what I would recommend
writing
to you.
This down.
I do it on the wheat. They offer wheat burrito, wheat tortillas. It's a little more health conscious, which I try to be. You can do Power Light, which is a lighter cheese and sour cream for those of us who might not like a lot of dairy. I would go carnitas burrito. I would throw their queso on top of there if I were you, and sit back and enjoy and let it party in your mouth.
Okay, I've written this all down.
Yes.
Depending on the week, I will either go with the healthy route or the just
yes.
fattening route.
If you decide to go fattening, go all the way and go with a chimichanga, because why not? If you're going to be a bear, be a grizzly and get that bad boy deep fried. So really, you can't go wrong with a fried burrito.
I love that phrase. I'm going to start using that.
Oh, I use it repeatedly. But if it's been stolen from me, it's been stolen twice.
All right, so you mentioned your son.
Yes.
Are you training your son to be a person who appreciates the finer foods in life?
He is to the point, yes, where he is a bigger hypercritic than I am when it comes to restaurants. He shares my pet peeves, which is sitting at a table and not being acknowledged. You know, restaurants get busy, but it certainly doesn't take any effort for a server to go by and go, "Hey, folks, be right with you." That little moment can mean the difference between a 5-star and 4-star review or a 4-star and a 2-star review. Just a, "Hey, I'm slammed. I see you. I'll be right there. You're important to me." You know, you don't have to bow down and genuflect or anything, but just let me know that you see where I am. So, yes, he shares my taste for really good restaurants. He knows how to behave, and he has from the minute that he was like 5 years old. So I've never had to worry about, you know, him creating a scene at restaurants. He even knows now not to bring his devices into a restaurant. So we leave the iPad in the car, which is magnificent. So we can go to some pretty nice places and he doesn't embarrass me.
Well, so because when I was 12,
yes,
my palate was so undeveloped.
Correct.
And I just liked macaroni and cheese and hot dogs like
right.
most 12-year-olds.
Same here.
Right. So he's kind of graduated. He's older than his years.
He is well older and wiser than his years. And it is to the point now where I need to explain to him why we can't have sushi more than once in a week. And I let him order the rolls. When we go to Zen, which is his favorite spot, he orders the rolls and I sit back and then allow him to dictate our meal. I have to pay, though.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure you are a great father in many ways, but that might be my proudest of you of being a father, is that your son is ordering the sushi rolls. That's
yeah.
amazing.
Yeah, it's a moment of pride for me as well when the waitress asks us what we want, and he says, "Oh, we'll take the you know, the Golden Dream and the, you know, Yellowtail and the blah, blah, blah." I'm like, you go, boy.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can only hope to raise children as wonderful as that.
Well, start them early and treat them like people. So many people make the mistake of pigeonholing their kids into the chicken fingers and into the mac and cheese and never getting inventive with it. Just, you know, don't sell them on it like, "Oh, you're probably not going to like this, but, you know, have them try what you're trying. And if they hate it, they hate it and they have to wait for it. But don't be afraid to take some chances.
All right, last question on food-related things.
Okay.
So you mentioned being trying to go the healthy route.
Yes.
And that's something you started at the new year, correct?
Well, yeah, I've done it many times before, and I find that because of my frame, my metabolism or whatever, if I don't exercise like a madman and watch what I eat, then I will balloon up and be disgusted with myself. So I can't have that.
I'm in the same boat.
Yes.
Once I hit 30,
Tell me about it. Wait till 40, friend. It doesn't get any easier.
Yeah, because I mean, when we talk about being a kid, I mean, I just used to have absolutely no conscience.
Same.
And I stayed the exact same weight.
Yep.
And not only the same weight, but I was one of the smaller kids.
Oh, me too. And I was the skinniest kid in my high school. I was the same height I am now, 5'10", and I graduated high school at 135 pounds. And I could eat, every Wednesday when I started UCF, I would go Hungry Howie's, three cheeser pan pleaser for $3.99. eat the whole friggin' thing myself, perhaps after ingesting some performance-enhancing drugs, and then drink an entire 2-liter bottle of Pepsi, and I wouldn't gain weight. And then your late 20s come along, your 30s come along, your 40s come along, your metabolism. If I look at a brownie now, I think I gain 7 pounds, if I may sound like a woman. not to stereotype women, but it's ridiculous to me how fast it all goes to hell and how hard I have to work now just to maintain the shape that I have right now, which is certainly nothing to brag about.
If I, you know, if I have any bad thing about my job, the one thing I always mention is that, I mean, it's impossible. You know, we're doing about 4 events a month.
Right.
And most of those events consist of just an inordinate amount of food being given to you. And just, here you go. Here
yes.
We had an event a couple nights ago at Burger 21.
Oh.
And they served 10 quartered burgers. So basically 10 sliders.
Sure.
Which is the equivalent of 2.5 full hamburgers.
Yep.
That are loaded. It's not just meat and cheese.
Right.
Plus a giant thing of fries that no one could finish and a full shake.
Good thing they don't have those dipping sauces that are so good for those fries, too. Yeah.
Oh, they did.
Yeah.
And the marshmallow sauce is very underrated.
Yes, it is. Sweet potato fries and marshmallow sauce is a dream come true.
Exactly. So, you know, it's a challenge.
Yes, it is.
And I have definitely put on some weight in this job.
You have to. I wouldn't trust you if you were skinny. I'd be like, this guy, what does this guy know about food? Sorry, Slim. I can't take anything. You have no integrity with me.
Yeah, and it's definitely an issue. And so every time I come into the radio show, I usually bring something that's delicious and calorie-filled. Yeah, so next time you invite me in, I'm bringing in acai berry shakes.
Perfect.
And wheatgrass shots.
Cool. Good, because we get enough crap that people bring to us, and it's so hard to resist. Like Burger 21, I take my son there probably once every couple of weeks. They used to be a great advertiser of mine. And for the last year and a half there, all I get is their salad. I get a Sonoma salad with grilled chicken, and I sit there and look at the barbecued beef bacon burger that he eats, and I just go, man, I wish I was 12 and I could eat that. And then because of my job, people actually bring the food to us. I don't have to do anything. I'm sitting at a console and people bring in food and I have to pick my spots. Donuts, I love them, but 500 calories, like 30 minutes of brisk running on the treadmill for one donut, I can easily resist that because I think how hard I have to work to get that off of me. That said, we had the lady who runs the concessions at the Florida State Fair and the Florida Strawberry Festival, Mama Jane. She came in to bring last week funnel cakes that, get this, dude, it's a funnel cake with Oreo filling inside. No. So it's a choco strawberry. There's a chocolate funnel cake and a strawberry funnel cake and Oreo filling inside. I couldn't resist that. I had to try it. And then she brings deep fried bacon on a stick that's dipped in the funnel cake batter. So you got to try that too. So you have to pick your spots because every once in a while you're going to have something like that that you want. So the donuts, easy to resist, but that stuff, man, I mean, you eat it and then you go, okay, well, I'm going to run a couple miles tonight.
Yeah.
I know.
It's crazy how many you have. Have you heard of the Mini Donut Factory, by the way?
No.
Okay. Because I was going to bring those in next time you had me on, but I can't
thank
do that
you. Don't
you.
Do that.
They're amazing. He was actually a guest a couple episodes ago. And when I last came in, I brought you 4 Rivers Cupcakes.
Yes,
and
you
I got
did.
To my car.
Yeah.
Listen to the next segment and you go like, I took one bite.
Yep.
And then that was the end of
yes.
it.
Yes.
And that I'm very proud of you for that.
Thank you.
Next time you're in the mood for a cheat, you have to go there and get the Bayou Bar, which I brought in. I don't know if any of your
probably.
Other people
someone
enjoyed
probably
it.
Ate it, I assure you.
It's filled with cream cheese and other goodness. So you will take a bite of it and you'll say, I've never tasted anything like this in my life.
Bayou Bar.
Yes. Do
okay.
it.
Okay. All right. I trust you.
All right. Enough about food.
Yes, please. Dying over here. I have to eat a Kind bar before I pass out.
That's my healthy snack also.
And mine too. I love them. Which kind do you go for?
Vanilla blueberries, my current
the,
squeeze.
The dark chocolate cherry cashew is a party in your mouth, as is the sea salt and dark chocolate as well.
Okay.
Good bars, those kind
yeah,
bars.
Yeah, they're awesome. And they're a great partner of Yelp's. All right. So you're on 102.5 Monday through Friday, 2 to 6, for anybody who does not listen.
That is true.
The really cool thing about 102.5 is it's virtually all day long. It's live talk. And
people
it's
talking.
Kind of all-encompassing talk? Like, what do you call that?
Yeah, about? I guess so. Free form, all-encompassing talk for adults who like to hear talk.
Yes. And I personally have loved it my entire life growing up a big sports fan. I think a lot of people in the sports world love sports radio because there's always a game to talk about the next day or something going on.
Sure.
And not a lot of markets are lucky enough to have a not necessarily sports-centric, but you can talk about sports
if it's
topical, station.
And that's true.
We are one of the few markets. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. Tampa is a tremendous sports market, and I was very surprised when I first moved here that there was no FM talk station because I came here to take a job on 97X to work with Seth and Danielle in the morning. And I was very surprised. And within a couple of months, they had come to me because the station I used to work for in Orlando is an FM talk station, Real Radio 104.1. And they've been around doing talks since like 1994 or so, maybe even a little earlier. And I was amazed that there wasn't one in this huge metropolis of Tampa, St. Pete. So then our powers that be said, hey, listen, if we started an FM talk station, would you be interested in doing a talk show? I'm like, gee, I don't know. As opposed to playing the same Mumford & Sons and Foo Fighters and Red Hot Chili Peppers song every morning, let me think about that for a second. Mm-hmm. And it worked, and it still works to this day. It works because people from all walks of life, whether it's your roofer, they got to have something to listen to all day. We are such a horrendous commuting city, maybe even the worst in the nation, if you believe some studies, that people have to have something to listen to or they'll go crazy. And God bless the music stations, because Cox, the company I work for, has Magic and the Dove and the Eagle and 97X and Hot 101.5. But you can only hear the same Jason Derulo and the same songs repeated over and over again. We offer something fresh, and we offer something inventive, and all of our personalities are different from Mike Calta in the morning, a very New York-type presence, yeah. I would say, and just a different kind of show. And then Roger and JP, they're actually up in New York. They're our midday show and do a great job. And then there's my stupid show where it's just me and Seth and Soul Brother Kevin and Nikki just talking about the daily issues, and it could be anything from having our moms on the radio to berate us to to doing what's something called Touch a Tush Thursday, which is where we get our coworkers. I'm blindfolded and I have to feel the derrieres of my coworkers to determine whether I'm feeling a male butt or a female butt. We just try to do something a little bit out of the box, and
you only have three to choose from, right? Or
right.
Other people come in.
Other people come in. Okay. Oh yeah, no, not my immediate coworkers. Okay. I don't want to touch their butts. No, it's actually like the lady who works in promotions or someone from accounts receivable. No, they come in and they volunteer for it for some reason. They do have to sign a waiver that they won't go to HR. but they line up, and we've had 7 to 8 people do it. Sometimes our good friends from the Penthouse Club, which by the way, a very underrated meal can be found at the Penthouse Club Tampa. I know you're thinking right now, Drew Garofalo, you're crazy. There's no way I'm going to eat the ahi tuna at a adult entertainment club. And I would tell you, you're cheating yourself out of a quality ahi tuna steak that's delicious there.
When I knew we were going to talk about a lot of restaurants, didn't expect that.
Well, you go in there and tell them I sent you, and they will treat you right. By the way, Craft Kitchen Oldsmar, a new place that has opened up recently.
Yes.
Money. They are really good, very inventive menu, and delicious food.
Totally agree on that one. All right, so I listened to when you were on with Ryan Hoppe, Hoppe Radio.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of went over your whole story.
Yeah.
So I don't want to make you kind of rehash that. If you guys want to hear Drew's story, which is very interesting,
thank you.
Check out Hoppe Hour.
Hoppe Hour, yeah.
Hoppe Hour. Hoppe on the same way you found this podcast through iTunes or any Android podcast
sure.
thing.
Stitcher, whatever.
Right. Podcast Republic's another good one. But one question that... one thing that you brought up that I was hoping Ryan would have brought up with you, which
right.
you said like you really never had an interest in radio from an earlier age.
That's true.
And then you kind of found your way into
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
But did you have any idea what you wanted to do at an earlier
no,
age?
No, none. I wanted to be a baseball player until I realized I can't hit a curveball. And then that's going to prevent you from pursuing your Major League Baseball dreams. So beyond Little League, I was clueless. I should have known that I wanted to do radio because from the time I was a little kid, my grandparents lived in Largo. So when we would visit them from first Framingham, Massachusetts, and then Orlando, Florida, where we lived, I would just sit on their porch. Cause I don't know if you know this, there's not a lot to do for a young child in Largo, Florida. we would go bowling and I would watch them at their square dance competitions. But other than that, I know that's fun. But I would sit on their porch with a tape recorder and I would just record myself doing voices and I would interview myself, Howard Cosell and interviewing Muhammad Ali, I'd be like, so champ, what did you think about? Well, Howard, I am the greatest fighter of all time. So that was basically my adolescence. And then I had a research paper to do in my gifted English class in eighth grade where I had my own radio station. I did the whole thing on a tape recorder where I would record calls, I would play records, I would do these stupid traffic bits and stuff. But for some reason, I never thought like, hey, Dodo, you can get paid for this one day. So in high school, I first worked in retail. I worked at record stores because I've always loved music. And then I went to work for the Olive Garden, the second Olive Garden ever in the Fashion Square Mall. First one's International Drive in Orlando.
Oh, I didn't know
Fun
that.
Fact. And I went to work as a host when I was 17. When I was 18, I became a server. I worked there for about 3 years, and I just there was something I loved about hospitality. I think it was the tangible feeling of satisfying guests. You really, the more work you put into it, the better your tips. You can control your own income. I love that aspect of it. I've always been fascinated by all of the moving parts in restaurants and what you have to do to create the perfect guest experience. If this were to all go to hell, radio, I would wait tables tomorrow. I love it. I'm somewhat of a people person in that I like to read people and find out their motivators. So I've always been pretty good at determining immediately what type of dining experience someone wants to have. Business lunch, back off and leave those dudes alone. Family from out of town, that's my money. So I worked at Olive Garden. I worked at the Walt Disney World Swan. I worked at the Walt Disney World Dolphin. I worked at TGI Fridays for about 3 years. And when I was doing that, I got a job at the Holiday Inn Orlando Airport, which I mentioned already. And then I started working in college radio, and you know, I just heard them announce one day as I was listening to indie rock that they were looking for volunteers from the community to be DJs. And I thought, oh, that'd be fun. I don't really have that many hobbies that I have time for. So I went in there. I did a demo tape. They said, sure, you're going to be doing a morning show, 8 to 11. I'm like, great. Okay, what do? They're like, play music. I'm like, okay. So they had racks of music. And at first, I went with the familiar one, my old staples of Depeche Mode, Cure, and New Order. Then I started delving deeper into indie rock and discovering all these great bands like Guided by Voices and all Yola Tango and all this stuff. And I did that for 3 years and still didn't think, you should apply to get paid on the radio somewhere. I thought restaurants was what I was supposed to do. And then one day, some dude called me while I was working in college radio and said, hey, man, I'm a program director at Real Radio, and we're starting to play alternative music on the weekends. Would you want a part-time job? I'm like, is it pay? And he said, yeah. I'm like, so I could get paid for being on the radio? And he said, yeah. I said, okay. So I go in there, and I started working there part-time on the weekends, met a couple of their talk personalities, one of them Jim Phillips, who I'd listened to for years. He became a mentor to me. I ended up working on first the Ed Till show, then Jim's show for a couple of years. And then one day Jim lobbied for me to get my own overnight show. And before I knew it, I had maybe 3 years of radio experience. I was doing my own talk show midnight to 6 a.m.
How old were you at that point?
Sunday night through Thursday night. I must have been about 27 at that point. And it was the most magical experience. The first time I cracked the mic on my own show, that the light went on. Like it was literally illumination. And I thought, this is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to talk into a microphone and make people laugh, piss people off, provoke people, incite people, inform people, inspire, entertain, and all that. I'm still not doing any of those, but I do try every single day to do at least one.
It's crazy too, because I can't imagine you doing anything else.
Same here.
And I had the same feeling with my job.
Yeah.
I saw the application and I was like, there's no way. Like, that's my, if I could customize a job posting,
right,
there it is.
Yep.
And so, yeah, when you mentioned that on the show, I was just curious, like, what could you possibly do besides that?
Yeah, there was a 3 year period when the radio station I was working for in Orlando flipped formats and fired everyone, that I thought I was out of radio forever, because it's just really tough to get back into the industry. And my soul was crushed, because like when you can put your heart and soul into a business and then through no necessary fault of your own, they just stop playing the alternative music and they start playing classic hits and they feel the need to purge all their personalities and fire them all. That's soul crushing, man. It was just like, okay, well, I guess I'm done with that forever. And so I immediately started waiting tables the next day, because I had a family. My kid was like 4 or 5 years old, I think. And I liked waiting tables. I actually worked for Kevin Fonzo, one of the greatest chefs in the entire universe, in my opinion. He has K Restaurant in Orlando. I went to work for him, love him, great dude. But then got a job with the Orlando Magic selling season tickets, because I'm a huge basketball guy. And I'm not a salesman. I learned how to be one for 3 years. It's a magnificent organization. I have great things to say about the people there, but I'm not to be a salesperson.
Cold calling camp.
Oh my gosh. All respect to the people listening to this who do, because if you can wake up every day and deal with that kind of rejection, 99 no's to get one yes, and that yes might not be a yes. It might be a person leading you on and crushing you with a no. I don't know how anybody does
Me
that.
Neither.
But I did it for 3 years, and then finally my buddy Shark, who I knew in Orlando, had an opening at a morning show in Tampa and rescued me from the world of cold calling and said, how'd you like to come to Tampa and do radio? And I wouldn't believe that it was real until I signed the contract, and I did in July of 2011. And here we are in March of 2016, and oh my God, my scan card still works when I show up for work. There's not a day that goes by when I just don't go, beep, another day of success and living out the dream.
It's a really cool story. I love it.
Thanks, man.
Everybody who's doing something that is not their passion should just stop what they're doing right now and immediately figure out what that is.
Yeah, it's easier said than done because people have to feed their families. But at the same time, man, my mom said it from the time I was 20. Find something you love to do and the money will follow. Like just do what you do. Like what that voice that drives you inside, whether it's poetry or writing restaurant reviews or talking into a radio or whatever. Just find what it is that drives you and makes you happy and pursue that passion, because what's the point of living a passion-free life, of working a job that you hate every day? I did it for 3 years. I loved the organization, but I hated the position. Yeah. And man, it poisons every element of your life with unfulfillment and frustration, and life is too short to be lived that way.
And ironically, I worked for some sports teams myself before Tampa Bay Lightning. Actually did a little brief stint at UCF, Tampa Bay Rays, and it was fun. But now it's that... It makes you kind of whole. And it motivates you to wake up every day and not be like, oh, I've got to try.
Yeah. And in turn, it makes you want to pay it forward and inspire other people. And I won't inspire people to go on the radio because I tell them not to. Like, it's the worst. And if you're listening to this thinking, man, that sounds great for me, do not. But under any, don't do it. It is a horrible industry full of shallow, empty, insecure narcissists like myself who will stab you in the back as soon as shake you in the hand. And it's a dying medium and et cetera, et cetera. But if you have to do it, then get an internship and try to find some quality people. But don't do it.
Speaking of audio-based entertainment, for a while, just like you were anti-Yelp, sort of, you were anti-podcast for a while.
Yeah, I was. And it was mostly for the same reason that the Juggalos turned me off of Insane Clown Posse.
Okay.
Not that Insane Clown Posse is a good band, because they are not. They are rapping clowns, and they are horrible. But their fan base, even worse, those putrid Juggalos who are morally bankrupt.
Yes.
Podcasters turn me off of podcasting. For every Joe Rogan and Adam Carolla who use the medium for great entertainment, you've got wannabe radio guys who are doing it just because they love the sound of their own voice and they don't know anything about creating compelling content. I then softened my view a little bit. I did somewhat of a podcast when I was out of radio, but to me, it just felt so fake. It'd be like a baseball player getting cut from the major leagues and going to play in a rec league somewhere. What's the point, you know? Mm-hmm. But then once I got with my buddy Shark, who now is a podcasting guru, he really turned me on to how powerful the spoken word can be. And we learned, Seth and I learned, who is my podcast partner on Drew Garabo Uncensored, searchable through iTunes. Mm-hmm. We learned how rewarding it can be, how neat and tangible it is to go post a podcast and then look at who's downloading it and where they're downloading it from. There are no restrictions. You could do an episode. But like I did my last one, it was just a 35-minute interview of Bobcat Goldthwait, like something we had never done before. On radio, I probably would have done 6 minutes with Bobcat, and most of the audience would have gone, why are you talking to this dude? Wait, really? The Zed from the Police Academy movies? What's he got to say? But because of the podcast, we got to stretch out a little bit. I got to get inside his head, talk to him about Robin Williams, his best friend, and how his misdiagnosis led to a suicide. And that, to me, is so great. And that is the future of this medium. It's guys who have something to say and offer a little bit of a unique take. And we haven't figured out a way to monetize it just yet, but we're not trying very hard because we've got this radio thing. There will reach a point where I think my contract in radio is up at the end of next year, I believe. And at that point, I hope to have a decision to make where I have a profitable venture on the podcasting end and a radio show that is successful, and kind of go, which of these do I want to choose? But right now it's radio because that's paying my bills.
For sure. So me personally, 2 to 6 is generally a time when I am extremely busy.
Right.
And doing things that I cannot both concentrate on your show and work productively. But as soon as I see a new podcast from Drew Garabo Uncensored, I'm immediately downloading it And on the next time that I'm either walking my dog or driving somewhere, I listened to the Bobcat episode while I was driving from the Asheville airport into town. I was sent up there for a work trip recently, and nice. I was sitting there in my rented Fiat, and I didn't have Bluetooth, so I was like listening to it, sort of like holding my phone up, driving like this
right.
through Asheville, North Carolina. And then, you know, it's great because
yeah.
I wouldn't have been able to listen to your show at that
sure.
point, really. I mean, I could have streamed it, but
yeah.
that's a lot
what
of
bother?
Data.
No, you're right, though. It's so easily consumable because, and that's what blows my mind every time we put a new podcast up, is that it shows up automatically on this app on my phone. So, and I'm like, that's me. I just sat and recorded that on my laptop, produced it on my laptop, edited it on my laptop, and now it's on my phone. Like that
yeah.
is that it doesn't get any easier than that.
It's much like for a consumer having a DVR. That
precisely
changed the game, right? You
yep.
had to like record stuff on a tape.
Oh yeah.
It was horrible.
Figure out how to program your VCR.
Yeah, which never worked.
Right. God forbid there should be a power failure because then it didn't tape.
Exactly. So now you, instead of like appointment listening,
right.
you have that option.
Yep.
And I love it. I can't recommend enough both the radio show when
Thank
I
you.
Can listen to it. And the podcast.
I appreciate itself. That. The podcast is so much fun, and we need to do it with a greater frequency. It's just real life gets in the way sometimes.
Oh, of course,
stupid
man.
Real life.
I mean, you have to come up with 20 hours of content.
Ugh,
a
shoot
week.
Me in the face. I know.
I don't know how you do that.
Me either, man. Me either. Seth and I are in constant communication with each other, and we see a news story or something happens in our real life. It's like, would this work for the air? And we still don't know what people want to hear,
yeah.
man. And then because of the wonderfully accurate way that radio ratings are garnered, you have to play little games to get people to listen longer.
Okay, so couple more
I'll tell
questions.
You more about that after this break.
Yes, absolutely. A couple more questions, and I'll
All
let
right.
you get on with your day.
Sure.
And they're both about me, speaking of narcissists.
Good. All right.
So I come into the show every so often and promote something related to Yelp.
Yes.
First of all, we do have a Yelper party, our big event that's like sort of the Super Bowl of Yelp.
Oh.
It's coming up April 4th.
Okay.
So I would love to come in the next couple,
Bring it.
Two, 3 weeks.
We like having you. We rate you 5 stars every time you come in.
But what can I do to forget my side of the story? Because
okay.
you always are very gracious and let me promote
sure.
anything. But what can we do to make it more compelling? Because last time came in and you took a call and you said something about like, hey, what? Call in with like your favorite restaurants. And
right.
then I called in and said Denny's.
Right.
So
yes.
what do we do?
We shoot those people in the head. All respect to Denny's. They're a fine, fine American diner. But okay, so where is your Super Bowl party here?
The I don't even know if we're legally allowed to
oh,
say
yes, that.
The
right.
big game party.
Right.
It's at the T. Pepin Hospitality Center.
Oh, I love yeah. that place. I like Tanner Pepin is a really good friend of mine,
yes.
and his brother Colton's really cool too.
They
I like
are.
Those kids.
Yeah.
And what type of restaurants are you bringing there?
Man, everything. Four Rivers will be
okay.
there. Just any place that I have a contact with that wants to sign on, about 30 restaurants.
Okay. And this is my content producer
yes.
mindset that I'm putting myself in here. We did a thing for a while called the 2-Bite Challenge where I was somewhat nefarious or notorious in high school for being able to eat a Whopper in 2 bites.
Oh, yeah.
It's something I can still do. I reluctantly found out on the air. I have an amazing capacity when it comes to the size of my mouth. So we were for a while taking different foods to see if I could eat them in 2 bites. A Whopper I did easily. We got one of the cakes from that Mazzaro's in, one of the little cakes there. I housed that in 2 bites very easily. So any type of 2-bite challenge that you might want to do.
Okay.
We would do a hot pepper eating challenge every once in a while. The that soup that they have at Natalie's Tech Timex.
Mm, yeah.
We had them, the Inferno Challenge. They brought that in. I think we managed 3 bites of that before we were crying and literally crying. That stuff tears you
yes.
up on the way in and we'll just leave the way out. That is a family-friendly podcast that we're doing here. So if you can do some sort of challenge, whether it's a blind taste test, a 2-bite challenge, something like that,
okay.
that would help us create compelling content and make a better segment.
But you won't be participating because you're eating healthy? Or are you going to...
Oh, come on, my man.
Okay.
I put content above everything.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
I will put my radio show above everything. It's all in the name of content. Like, I don't enjoy touching the derrieres of my coworkers, but I make that sacrifice to create interesting content for my radio show.
I love it. All right. And then so also this podcast, you've now been an interviewee of it. We're
yes.
pretty much at the end.
Yes.
What can we do to make this podcast better?
Get better guests, man. I suck, dude. You really got to work on your guest getting ability.
It's not true.
No, I think that that conversations like this are exactly what podcasting should be about, man. There's no pressure to go to break. There's no, man, we got to get another quarter out or hour out of our listener. I think 2, 3, 4 people talking about regular stuff. That's what I want to hear. I know I'll listen to this one mostly because it has my favorite subject, me. but I think people gravitate towards sincere, authentic conversations. And authentic is a word I use a lot in telling people why I do what I do and why I enjoy what I do so much, because I enjoy the authenticity of it. I don't like to necessarily play a role on the radio. I did that in the early stages of being on in Tampa when I had a show called In Your Face with Drew Garabo, mm-hmm. and I had a lot of forced controversy, and I would ram my opinions down people's throat and kind of play a role and a gimmick. I don't like that, man. I would rather be myself and have authentic conversations. So I would say if you keep doing that, which is exactly what you've done here today, then you are definitely destined for adequacy.
So I shouldn't do like a fake radio voice? And
I hate them, man. Yeah. The big fake radio voices of, hey, what's going on, everybody? Boy, those clowns in Congress, they've really done it again. I can't believe it. Ladies and gentlemen, a puke all over. Not my type of radio.
I'm with you.
Not that you can't be huge doing that, because Jim Rome has carved out a career for himself of doing this gimmicky fake radio voice thing, but for some reason it works for Rome. And if you listen to the older Howard Stern stuff, and that's what I love when he goes, I hate when he goes on vacation, but I love hearing some of the older stuff because it's, hello everyone, this is Howard Stern. That voice that has really transformed into what he uses now, which is his real voice, it's been amazing, man.
I am 100% in agreement as usual. We seem to agree on many things.
Damn it. Food. Except Tijuana Flats, but hopefully you'll try that and rectify.
I wrote it down on my podcast.
It's not a deal breaker for us. We can still be friends if you hate it.
Okay, sounds good. Do you have any fun stuff to promote coming up? Not that my audience is even 1 billionth the size of yours.
Well.
But do you have any like things where you're going out? Because I know you recently went out and did like the day parade or the night parade. And
yeah, I do events like that all the time. I'm real big on charities, man. I don't like to pimp events that I'm doing other than charities. We are partners with Pin Chasers. And the reason I'll pimp that is because they put a lot of money into the charitable ventures. Like I did a event for this kid, Eric, who needs he's a 9-year-old. Kid. We did it 2 weeks ago at McMickey's farm. Kid needs a double lung transplant, a heart transplant. So they put together a birthday party for him, and Pin Chasers is going to take this kid to a NASCAR race because it's on his bucket list. Anthony, who runs Pin Chasers, is one of the most benevolent human beings I've ever met in my life. So I'm there on the first Wednesday of every month for a bone bowling night. It's $10.25 for all you can bowl. And, you know, the money stays local with Pin Chasers, so I don't mind pimping that one out. Mm-hmm. But really, if you just follow me on Twitter, I promote all the charity events that I try to show up at. That's been, in addition to physical health, that's been a recent commitment of mine, is doing whatever I can do to use my position to help people who are in need, because it's sadly lacking in today's world, let alone radio world. People just want to do things to get paid for. And I think you can pay yourself dividends by trying to help the world around you a little bit.
I love it. And speaking of our big event, it is a suggested $10 donation to the Humane Society of Tampa Bay.
Suggested, eh?
Yes.
Suckers.
I don't think we're allowed to actually force people to donate. So we just...
So then it's free is what you're saying, Brett.
Right.
No, the Humane Society is great. Seth works with the one in Pinellas County. He has a dog of the week that we try to get out adopted.
Right.
So I will definitely make a suggested donation of 10 bucks there. T. Pepin Hospitality Center, April 4th, you said?
6:30 to 9:30.
6:30. That's very convenient for me,
isn't
because
it?
I get off work at 6. You can count on me being there if I'm invited. Am I allowed?
Oh, you are. You are a Yelper, in fact.
Oh, I will write more Yelp reviews. I will get on that immediately, if not sooner. I will try new restaurants. I'm going to New York this week. I'll Yelp the hell out of New York City.
Very nice. Thanks so much for being on.
My pleasure.
You can follow Drew at Drew on the Radio on Twitter. That's probably your most active, even though you are active on many social media platforms.
Yeah, Drew Garabo on Instagram, at Drew on the Radio on Twitter. Those are your best bets. Twitter is the greatest for me because I'm creeping towards 60,000 followers. Mm. I think I'm at about 59 right now. And as shallow and empty and meaningless as it is, it means something to me that for some bizarre reason, 60 freaking thousand people, including Black Thought, the front MC for The Roots, follows follows me. Lisa Loeb, the singer of Stay, I missed you. Wow. She follows me. There are bizarre Jose Bautista follow. I don't know why these people follow me or how they found out about me, but for some reason they do. So why don't you?
Jose Bautista followed me on LinkedIn.
Yeah,
he does a lot.
Joey Bats, what are you? Who's running his social media? But if you look, he's got like he follows like 500,000 people on Twitter, so yeah. It does dilute the meaning of it just a little bit. But still, Joey Bats, yo.
Well, Drew Garabo is the biggest celebrity that follows Yelp Tampa Bay, so woo! That's something to be said, right?
Hell yeah.
So once again, thank you so much for listening. You can follow Yelp Tampa Bay at Yelp Tampa Bay on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Thanks again to Genghis Flan for providing us our theme song, Royalty Free. Until next time, we will catch you guys hopefully next week, maybe the week after. I'm going out of town next week for some work stuff. So we'll talk to you soon. Thanks so much.
Get out of my house.